Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Break Through the Noise with me, Jennifer Lindsay. I am the Director of Digital Services at Eastwick Communications. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Carmen Scheidel, Director of Education, Events, and Multimedia Content for Media Bistro. Welcome, Carmen.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Thrilled to have you on. We at Eastwick are huge fans, and if you saw my blog post earlier in the week, it obviously is a little nostalgic for me to talk about Media Bistro because it seems like everybody at Columbia Journalism School when I was there was using Media Bistro for just about everything, including, of course, job hunting, which leads me to kind of my first question because, you know, one of the areas that you are charged with is around education and events and, you know, obviously especially related to education. Wondering if you're seeing any requests come in for particular kinds of education. I've noticed personally from, you know, having followed and been a member of Media Bistro for years that there's much more kind of restart your career or change your career types of things. But since, you know, journalism school admissions are up, kind of surprisingly, wondering if you're seeing any surprises or and how you might have or might be looking to change the curriculum to meet the needs of the current workforce.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're finding is that because the industry is in such a transition right now, everyone's careers are in transition. So what that translates to is that pretty much everybody who works in media needs to train themselves at every level to learn new skills, to find out what's happening. And so we try to respond to that by offering opportunities for people to educate themselves and stay ahead of the trends. And that can take many different forms. So if someone is at the beginning of their career, they frequently come to us for an introduction to journalism or an introduction to PR. But our goal is to really educate people throughout their careers. So what we've done is created video tutorials that work really well for people who have no more than 15 minutes but want to brush up on a particular a niche area, or we have large-scale conferences where we basically try to do two things. We want to bring people together so that they can meet each other and exchange ideas and learn about the latest topics from thought leaders who are really influencing and shaping media.
So one of the most recent events that you did to pick up on that is of course, Media Bistro Circus is coming up, and I think it'll be in its second year. But there's also, or maybe it already happened.
Yeah,
right?
It did happen earlier this summer, and then we have, it was such a successful event. People loved it, and we did a special spinoff called the Media Bistro Career Circus, and that is coming up in August in New York. It's a half-day event focused on this issue of career transition in media. So it's specifically focused on the topic of helping people either navigate their careers or get jobs or learn new skills that will help them put their careers where they want them to be.
I think that's what I was thinking of,
yeah.
But I couldn't forget, and everybody has to know, that this year they were actually able to get Cirque du Soleil to come to the event that Carmen just spoke of that has happened already. So their
it's
events,
so true.
Yeah, their events never cease to amaze me. So, and the price points are actually very good. So without being too promotional here, I think, you know, obviously education is a huge part of hopefully helping us all build our skill sets to stay employable. But you guys have continued to do that in a fun and interesting way. And I wanted to kind of along the similar vein ask you about events because one of the things that I noticed among my friends that are, you know, employed, contracting, and looking for work is that sometimes folks that feel that are working are feeling a little bit, you know, time is of the essence. I'm trying to do a lot of different jobs so I can really impress my employer.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks contracting might feel that, and they might feel like they're kind of looking for more work. And then you have the group that are strictly, you know, on the market looking for perhaps, you know, jobs in either of those categories or both. And so, you know, obviously that affects networking. And I'm hearing more and more people have different, very stringent, it seems like, perspectives on, I only want to go to events if they cost at least this much, because I don't want to be around a bunch of job seekers, because even though I may be, you know, either they're not in a position to hire, or they're not hiring right now, or maybe there's a layoff that's coming that they don't want to talk to. Conversely, you know, there's, you know, the folks that truly want a job seek that really may be able to add value. And I'm wondering if that is factoring in at all into some of the thinking that you're doing behind the crafting of these networking events, especially that you've been that you help put together, or that you're in charge of putting together.
Yeah, that's so interesting. That there is some snobbery in the events world where it's so true, and because you know events are different from, I mean, events, I consider them educational opportunities, but they're very different from a continuing education class. They're sort of like a high class version of continuing education. So the people who come to events, conferences, are company leaders, founders, entrepreneurs, and very high level executives in a lot of cases. And it is true, they want to meet peers. And then, you know, so the way that we try to address that is by creating content that is extremely strong. And, I mean, right now, we're constantly thinking about what our audience wants, what our community is telling us they need, and we try to anticipate their needs. And we know that a couple of the large technological shifts right now are, two that are related to content are mobile technology and user-generated content, just two pulled out of the hat. Well, so we thought, well, how do you develop an educational program on mobile content and marketing, for instance? It doesn't really work to do it as, you know, a semester-long course. But it does work really well to bring in senior-level leaders from Nokia, from Bravo Media, to host an event, so that people who are leading the efforts within their companies can speak with each other and meet the leaders in the field. So, I mean, we've developed a mobile event that's coming up in September called Think Mobile. We're basically pushing our audience in that direction. We want to help people embrace technology, and it's a struggle within the media community. We know that the media industry is in trouble, and part of the reason is that the industry itself hasn't always been ahead of the curve. I mean, we see that with the newspaper industry just struggling. I mean, really trying to work through these issues. So since we're essentially a resource for the media community, we try to address these issues by hosting events that bring people together. And we do try to keep the costs moderate so that they really do serve our community.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because obviously if something's so expensive, then it with so many people slashing budgets for even things that are very, you would think, and you know, maybe a year ago was very inexpensive, you know, it can be a bit of a frustrating perhaps battle. One thing I'm wondering is, in terms of events, this is kind of, I guess, based on, you know, my experience in new media. So I started out as a local TV reporter, as many know, and then moved on to new media pretty quickly. Did that for 7 years, took a break to do my master's at Columbia, and then continued on. So I'm more than I am embarrassed to say it's more than a decade, and I'm not going to go beyond that in terms of being new media. And you know, it's gone from new media to emerging media to, of course, social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, in terms of, do you guys do any kind of targeted outreach in terms of trying to make sure that you've got a good mix of these different people, or do you feel like they're really finding you? They already know who you are, Media Bistro, meaning as a brand.
Well, it's sort of like this. I mean, we have a really large community of people who have careers in media and have been in media for years, if not decades. So, you know, we have a million registered users on the site, on Media Bistro, for instance. So this is a really large community of people who come to the site. They read our blogs. I mean, we have about 7.5 million page views per month. So these people also come to our classes and our events, and we're in very close contact with them. Media Bistro started, it sort of grew out of cocktail parties that our founder, Laurel Toby, started. We still run these cocktail parties across the country. They're free. They're set up just for people to meet each other and exchange ideas. So what we as a company do is talk to our users, our members, our students, and hear what their issues are. And so we really try to be responsive to their needs. And at the same time, we try to anticipate what their needs will be. So a focus on mobile content, for instance, comes out of, you know, what we see as an enormous area of growth, mobile content and marketing, I should say. And so we want to, we've heard that people want to understand what's happening, and we want to provide them with that. And the same goes for, user-generated content has been an interesting shift in media. I mean, we've seen how large institutions like the New York Times are really regularly using user-generated content now. You see it all the time on their photography blogs that are set up based on user-submitted photos. And this is like an area where a lot of media companies want to offer their audience an opportunity to engage. And so we want to explore that issue. So we started a user-generated content event that is later in the fall called UGCX. And Jeff Howe, the author of Crowdsourcing, is one of our keynotes, and we'll be exploring that issue. So, you know, we really try to balance. We want to give people what they want, and then we also want to help them on the path forward, whatever that means for this massive group of people who care so much about their careers.
Yeah, and education coming in lots of different forms. Let's talk, as you mentioned, the blogs. Media Bistro has, our last event in the San Francisco Bay Area was, of course, the Bay Newser kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it's very exciting to see, when I log on every day and kind of the wrap of the blogs to see, when I saw Bay Newser, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. and I was almost like, well, there was a part of me that was like, I've been on this so long and I had no idea this was coming. No, only for 10 seconds. I have the content there. One of the things I'm noticing is obviously the blog network, as I just mentioned, is expanding. The content seems to be getting much and much more, what's the word? I mean, it's quoted other places more.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it's getting a lot more in terms of being cutting edge or first on the scene type of reporting, and in and of itself, I think is perhaps, among the people that I socialize with and network with a lot in the social media realm, isn't as well known as it. So I'm always kind of trying to mention, hey, I just saw in PR News or Agency Spy was just talking about that the other day. Whereas, a lot of people are getting Ad Age every day or whatever. What's your role in the blog network? And I'm sure that there are plans in the works to bring it into maybe more of the events and that sort of thing. But kind of, can you tell us kind of your role and then about the blog network in general, especially for those that don't know about the great resource that the information there provides?
Absolutely. The blogs are not officially a part of what I manage. They're an adjacent area, but I can certainly tell you all about them. We have 12 Media Bistro blogs, all covering various verticals of the media industry. So we have a design blog called Unbeige. We have a book publishing industry blog called Galley Cat. We have Agency Spy, which covers advertising, and on and on. PR Newser, covering PR. And our newest blogs are Bay Newser, covering Bay Area news. I'm glad you were excited about that one. And
yes.
Web Newser, which is essentially covering news, the news business that happens online. So there's so much talk about what's happening with print. What's happening with print shifting to online. We wanted to cover this area of news that's happening online because we think that, you know, a pretty drastic shift has been unfolding over the past years.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree.
So, and in general, yes, Media Bistro's blogs. We've added blogs. We've hired bloggers on full time. It's definitely been a priority within the company to track breaking news and to really develop the presence of these blogs within the media community. So we went from being kind of a media resource to a provider of news, of media news and commentary. And definitely the blogs fit in beautifully with all of our other efforts. So, you know, people come to TV Newser to find out what's happening in the broadcast news industry, and we offer classes taught by professionals in the broadcast news industry. So there's definitely a close connection. Our blogs cover our events. Our bloggers attend our events. So it's really, I mean, we're in some ways a unique media company in that we do offer education, editorial content, resources like job listings, and in ways for people to meet one another. So we really try to be a full resource for people in media, and the blogs are a crucial part of that.
And sort of speaking of editorial, I wanted to make some sort of segue into your own sort of journey, because one of the things I think that's really interesting is whether you anoint yourself an influencer or not, I think you are, clearly, because I think so many of us in so many different industries are really looking to Media Bistro for various things. And you've had a unique journey, having been on the editorial side, and now being where you are now. Can you tell us a little bit about the journey that's taken you from kind of A to B and what the little 8.1 has been and all of those sort of things? Because I think that's always educational for people to take a look at somebody who's in an important role and go, how do I become Carmen?
Well, gosh. absolutely. So, I mean, my background is in editorial. I was an arts and culture writer and editor in my hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, for several years before making the move to New York to basically further my career. In Grand Rapids, there are about five main media outlets, and that's about it. And so I knew it was time to move to the big city. So I moved to New York in 1997 and started freelancing. And I had a very typical freelance career, I would say, for 7 years, where I was doing the mix that so many freelancers do. I was doing copy editing, financial editing, fiction writing. I got my MFA in fiction writing. I was working on arts and entertainment pieces for Time Out New York and doing book reviews and that sort of thing. So it was really a hodgepodge, and it was really wonderful. I had a very happy existence. And I could pursue a lot of creative projects while I was pursuing paid work. So it really balanced out nicely. And then the trouble with freelancing a long time is that you don't get a promotion, you don't get a performance review. It's hard to feel a sense of progress. And one day, I was actually teaching writing at the New School, and I taught essay writing and a grammar course called The Mechanics of Writing. And
for those, just to interrupt you for a second, for those that don't know the New School, it's a very, very cool place with lots of different unique but usually extremely distinguished people teaching. So very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's true. It's a very progressive university that also has a large continuing education program. So I was teaching in a program that brings together degree students, bachelor's degree candidates and members of the community. So I would teach classes that would have, you know, I had like an AIDS doctor who was about, you know, 50 years old and had been, you know, studying HIV since like the 80s, and like an 18-year-old jazz student from the South who had come to the New School to study music. So it was really an interesting mix. but one day in the hallway, I was talking with someone, and he said, "I've got the job for you." And he told me about this opening at Media Bistro. And my main, you know, I thought, gosh, do I really want a full-time job? Oh, I'll check it out. And my life changed. I got hired initially to really develop the educational content for the company. And so I was able to draw on those creative editorial skills to create content for people who worked in editorial and beyond. And I did that at a time when the company, you know, had this startup mentality and we were growing quickly. And so we could try all kinds of ideas and make them happen. And some didn't work, but many did. And then this path of growth kept happening here within the company, and my job shifted in a way that I think kind of mirrors what is happening for a lot of editorial people. They're learning that they need to know the business side of their work. So a lot of people, for instance, want to understand web analytics, a lot of journalists, I mean. They're understanding that the creative side serves them very well. They do it well. But if they broaden their skills to include a lot of business skills that people learn in business school, it will really help them. And so my job has been, in some ways, a wonderful learning experience in that I have a very creative job that also has taught me about the business world. And so, I mean, I handle a lot related to the financial end of things and strategy and planning and technology and innovation. And so because Media Bistro is a small company, it's given me that opportunity. And I highly recommend that experience for people who are working in some editorial capacity and want to use those skills. I say go work for a small company that is creating content, and you will be asked to learn so much about the overall business.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think that gets kind of underrated in the scheme of things to just, you know, the word I use for this economy, whether it's looking for a job, looking to, you know, kind of increase your value within a company, is be nimble, be open, and listen. You know,
so true.
Keep those ears open. Any surprises that, you know, you didn't expect as you've sort of transitioned from one world to another?
Well, a lot of freelancers, you know, people who work in any field, it could be in design or in writing or copy editing, a lot of freelancers complain about the isolation of freelance work. They love the freedom, but the isolation is really difficult. And for me, the surprise was that the social end of my job was like fuel for me. It was really, really exciting, and it just increased my energy. I realized what a social creature I am, and I've seen that in other people too. It's like, you know, they can be very, they can be very cerebral. They can be focused on hatching ideas in their heads. But once you bring them out, that creative collaboration that happens in a group is really essential. And I think that within the media industry, this happens a lot, like finding that perfect balance of time to think and write and reflect versus that time to bounce ideas off each other. And I think actually that's one of the most exciting things about what's happening online and through digital media and social media. It's sort of like those two things are coming together. So the people who are writers and enjoy thinking and expressing thought through the written word are able to do that and simultaneously socialize online. And that's exciting. And I've seen that a lot in offline events, whether it's a party or a conference. And I think that's, that's like, it's not really a trend people talk about that much, but I like what the social web is doing for those writerly types. I think it's an amazing shift.
Yeah, and the web newser blog actually does a really good job of kind of bridging the two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really great place to start in terms of kind of trying to start the dive into the information or to get deeper information or context if you're already kind of in that world. So it does a really good job of kind of doing both things. And I highly recommend folks check it out. But I wanted to ask you also, part of your responsibilities include multimedia content.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to find out what that means in the context of your role.
Well, multimedia content that I work on is all educational in its focus. So we have a library of video content called Media Bistro On Demand. And it's this very extensive video library of tips and techniques and ideas for approaching your career or learning new skills. So it's very inexpensive. It's $19 a month, and you can access around 100 videos, which would be hours and hours of educational content. So, for instance, right now we've been developing a lot of content related to managing a career. So we know a lot of people are on our job board daily, and they're confused about why they're not getting calls back for open positions. So some of the content is very focused on skills like using your resume to get a meeting with someone. A resume has one thing it's supposed to do. It's supposed to get you in the door for an interview. So we focus on that as one topic. And so there will be like a 20-minute video tutorial on that topic. And then
mm-hmm.
that's on one end. On the other end of the spectrum, we have videos of our speakers from some of our conferences. So you have people like Tim Ferriss, who wrote the book The 4-Hour Workweek and is
mm-hmm.
a complete strategist when it comes to a person's career. He's methodical and believes that basically everything you do to promote yourself should be backed up with data. It should be planned, and your path to success, it will never be an accident. And it's an interesting theory, and you know, in his case, it's completely it has worked very well. We also have Media Bistro's sister company, graphics.com, is a resource for graphic designers, and we have a similar video library that is educational in focus. So we developed this multimedia content with the understanding that not everybody wants to show up for a conference, like you said earlier, or a class. They sometimes want to know one very specific thing. While a lot of information is available online for free, that information isn't always structured in a way that someone new to a topic can figure out. So we really we use instructors who are experts in the field, and we get them to tell us like 10 tips on how to do one specific thing. And so we create mini videos that are basically originally produced videos. Some of them have a host speaking. Others will lead the viewer through a presentation. All of them are very practical and hands-on, and we wanted to provide a very simple solution for people in all parts of the country who want help, who want to learn things, and want access to information that they can trust.
So obviously coming from a communications perspective and having the media background that I do, there's a very deep article archive on how to pitch particular magazines,
mm-hmm.
For example, available on Media Bistro. And forgive me, I'm not sure if that's available to members or non-members alike.
That's available. The how to pitch content is a part of our Avant Guild membership. So there's an annual membership fee for that. It's, I believe, $59 per year. And then you can access all of our editorial content, including the how to pitch articles. And those are essentially interviews with senior editorial staff at various publications and websites, telling specifically what types of articles they're interested in and how you can get your work published there.
And obviously I'm a huge fan because I'm continuing to refer to things that I'm not even sure are gated, you know, to
sure.
the general public or not. But I wanted to ask you, maybe in terms of trends, this would be helpful to all, kinds of trends that folks are looking at in terms of wanting to pitch, because of course the media landscape having changed so much and a lot of magazines going either digital only, how has that impacted the How to Pitch series?
Well, a big shift has happened in that we're focusing, we're including many digital publications in the How to Pitch section. And then we're constantly, I mean, we're finding that because editorial staffs are changing at various publications, there are sometimes hidden opportunities for people who are getting their first clips or who want to break into the next tier of publishing. And so we really try to address those needs. So it's a great way to find out the insider tips. And then in terms of trends, one thing that's not directly related to our how to pitch, but that we've found to be true, is that there's such a need online for original video content that if you're an experienced journalist and can tell a story and report something very soundly, if you can also provide video doing that, then it will absolutely help you get into the door of several publications. And so we've tried to address that trend by offering people training in that area. So we offer specific classes that will tell people how to learn those guerrilla skills of creating a multimedia story. and people love it. I mean, we set it up so that people need very basic equipment to do it, which is, you know, many publications are fine with that too. The quality does not have to be, I mean, the quality is for the web. It's not for broadcast TV. And so it's really opened the door, and in terms of pitching new places, I think that's an excellent way to get in. And it's a really fun skill to learn, like I said, for a lot of journalists who are ready to come out of the cave and tell their story and be showmen and, you know, exercise that part of what they do. So many people in media are hams, and they've been underserved. They've been now that video is this great opportunity for them. It gives them a chance to appear on camera and to create wacky little shows and things like that. And viewers love it, and editors appreciate it because it makes it so much easier for them to present a multimedia package.
That's great. We're all secret hams, I think. That's the thing. So I have to ask you sort of along the line, you know, because obviously I think there's a lot of areas we've talked about that are successful. So let's go devil's advocate in the minutes we have remaining. Educational topics or events that you thought would be popular but were surprised that sort of, I don't want to say failure, but weren't as successful as you anticipated they might have been?
Sure, I've got one. So I said earlier that I feel like editorial people need to learn business skills. I do believe that. But it's every time we've tried to offer that class, people don't want to take it. So that's,
really?
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of, I feel like the den mother, where I'm saying to them, you kids, you really need to learn this. And I guess maybe it's just for people who hated math and really loved their language arts or English class, you know, the thought of taking, you know, a class involving spreadsheets at night doesn't sound so good. And it's funny, one of our editorial staffers always says to me, what if you offered, you know, budgeting for editorial types? And I love that idea. I think so many people could really use, I mean, I hear this from them individually that they would love to really get a handle on their business skills, because as they get promoted, they're asked to basically help run the business from the editorial side. And, you know, it's a struggle for them. I mean, I think eventually they work it out, but I don't know. That's a perfect example of one that I feel should work, and people aren't interested in it. They would much rather take something fun like, let's say, memoir writing or inspiring or, you know, something like that. So unfortunately, you know, we're not able to push them in that direction.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, from the business side, you know, a lot of it has to do with every company is sort of different. So, I mean, even though I was, I hate to say what age I was when I had my first, you know, Disney spreadsheet in front of me, but even still, it's so different than how it's accounted for on the agency side. And I also wonder, that sort of push in the last couple of years for everybody has to have an MBA, sort of because of Google in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it kind of came from this genesis of Google really wanting high qualified talent. And it spread to lots of startups in the Silicon Valley at the very least, and of course in San Francisco. And if people maybe did night classes or whatever and then feel like maybe they can piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's one I'll have to chew on, because I think that's an interesting one as well, because you would think that business skills are exactly what you'd want to move up the ladder.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to ask you is sort of the opposite of that. What are runaway successes that people cannot get enough of?
Anything,
you kind of alluded to a couple.
Yeah, anything related to learning digital skills. So, like I said, the multimedia journalism classes that we started offering that are sort of like involve these guerrilla techniques for learning video or photography on the fly to go along with these hardcore editorial skills that people have. Those are people really want and need those. And I mean, classes that I'm in the process of developing now are related to understanding search and understanding web analytics. We're finding that so many people do want those skills. And so that's sort of like a business skill area that people have specifically requested. So you can look for those in the coming months from Media Bistro. And I think those would be the ones.
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely two areas that we're working on. So I do professional development within my organization, and so analytics is one of those areas where I put the request out and said, okay, we have to get analytics reports, period, and kind of try to explain why. But then in the findings that I actually see, there's probably even more correlation to what our goals are than folks realize, and then their eyes start to open. So we'll be doing a formal, ironically enough, a formal PD session, professional development session, within the agency this week. So I have to completely agree. That's a huge, huge skill set. That, I think, and just sort of, you know, wanting to shoot video but learning to frame things a little bit better so you're not either cutting off someone's head or giving them so much headroom that you can't really see them, or, you know, learning the things that we learned, you know, early in the day when you learn to shoot video from whomever. You know, if you shoot someone up, they're, you know, it's going to look like you're looking down on them. If you shoot them from the bottom up, it's going to look like you're exalting them. And if you shoot them sort of face, you know, head on, that's probably perfect for the environment that we're in at the moment anyway. Mm-hmm. Along the lines of differences in, you know, skill sets and things like that, predictions, what do you think will be the biggest difference in the media in general? So I'm talking about basically all the outlets that, let's say, your blogs touch, so those industries in general. What do you think will be the biggest difference in, say, 1 year and 5 years?
Let's see. I mean, I think the way that news is covered by sites like us who cover the media industry, we are, I wouldn't say critics of it, but we report on what's happening in the news business. And I think as we've seen that the user voice has changed news content in the past few years, couple of years, I think we're going to see more shifts there. And even the way, you know, this leveling of the playing field, we'll see that play out in new ways. I don't know what they will be, but I'm interested in that very much, that in terms of career options, like, this is really giving people an opportunity to join in the conversation and to join in the media business by just starting things, by just starting a new video show, a podcast. Blog Talk Radio is amazing. I love it. You know, we've got so many opportunities for people to start something creative and new and then promote it like crazy through the social web. So I think those are the trends that we'll be watching and covering, and it's exciting to see how those play out. And then the other one that's a little less exciting but will be fascinating, I think, in a sense, is what this means for the business models and the revenue models and what's happening with the New York Times experimenting with potentially charging for its editorial content. So we'll be watching those areas, and I think that as this business model shift happens, it's going to further this shift, and it will drive our coverage of it.
Well, on that note, I thank you so much, Carmen, for taking the time out to speak with us today. The time seems to have gotten away from us.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. It was a pleasure.
And I'd love to check in with you in say, you know, in the next few months, or if anything, you know, sort of pops on your radar, let's stay in touch and make sure we keep people informed about, you know, how the industry's changing, because I think it's something we should revisit kind of out of public service more than anything. And you've been a fantastic guest.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to be back.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Sure, and I want to thank all of those that have tuned in to Break Through the Noise with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Next week, our guest will be Avinash Kashanuk, author of Web Analytics, An Hour a Day. That's 1 week from today. You can keep up with the latest at blogs.eastwick.com, and I wish everyone a happy and safe weekend. Take care.